From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you. Thanks especially to the people who ululate. I like that. Thank you. Got a great show for you today. Andrea Mitchell of NBC will be joining us later. But first, got to take care of this. Basically, an apology is in order. As many of you heard earlier this week, Carl Castle was waiting to go live with his newscast. And he made some comments, some very unfortunate comments, without realizing that his mic was live. And just, you know, full disclosure laid out there, here's the tape.
Yeah, it's really getting out of control. Corey Flintoff just leaves those pistachio shells all over the room. It's gross. Yeah, I want to cut his nuts off. Oh!
No more nuts for Corey. So Carl, you feel bad about that, right? You didn't want to hurt anybody. Didn't want him to have any nuts anymore. Let's get going with this week's show. Call us up, answer some questions about the week's news. The number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, my name is Sundip. I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Hey, Sundip, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. How are things in Austin?
It's really hot.
Yeah, well, I understand Austin is like the most hip-hop happening town with music happening everywhere, and it's just the coolest place, and no one would ever leave, right?
Pretty much, except during the summertime.
And during the summertime, it's like what?
Hell with steel guitars, basically.
Well, welcome to our show, Sundip. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe magazine and Esquire, among many others, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Sundip.
Hi, Charlie.
And to next say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column is Roxanne Roberts.
Hello.
Also say hello to a humorist and author and the man to blame for everything you might find at Baudet.com, Mr. Tom Baudet.
Hello, Sundip.
Sundip, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. You're going to start us off with that. Carl Castle will read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Now, for your first quote, we're going to take you to this week's G8 summit in Japan. Here's a world leader showing off his diplomatic skills as he introduces Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper to another world leader.
Yo, Harper! The president of Nigeria.
And here he is calling out a greeting to his good friend, Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, who we should note is from Italy, where they speak Italian.
Amigo! Amigo!
So who was this great, great leader who managed to single-handedly transform a global summit into just another kegger at Deke House?
That would be President George W. Bush.
Yes, indeed. At the last G8 summit of his presidency, Mr. Bush showed why the other leaders of the industrial world will miss him. He shows up. It's not a boring summit anymore. Instead, it's Ernest goes to the G8. Hey, Vern. Pooty Poop still around?
If he didn't control 40,000 nuclear weapons, they'd probably just beat the crap out of him. Lock him in a closet.
Angela, hold his arms. The big achievement of the summit was to get Mr. Bush to finally sign on to a commitment to bring down greenhouse gas emissions by about 40 years from now. But he may not have been sincere. This is true. As he left the summit, he turned and said, quote, goodbye from the world's biggest polluter, unquote. He said that. And then he rode off in his coal-fired limousine.
You know, I've gotten really tired and gotten real bad writer's cramp writing those notes of apologies to the rest of the world.
Well, isn't it kind of charming?
No!
No, I'm gonna stand here and I'm gonna say, look, I mean, these things tend to be very formal, they're very stiff. He's not. He's very loose. He's very informal. He treats them as friends. Maybe that's a good thing in international diplomacy, don't you think?
So you don't have a problem being represented by, like, Bluto from Animal House? Don't you just wish he crushed a beer can on his head just for fun?
Wouldn't it be cool if he did, though? That's my whole point.
The problem is he'd crush it on Merkel's head.
Yes. Yeah. He does like picking on her.
At least Boris Yeltsin was around to give Bill Clinton cover on these things.
Yes, I know. All right, Sandeep, here is your next quote.
So you see, history can be made. All it took was some hard work and bipartisanship.
That was a blogger for the Denver Post. He was commenting on a historical milestone this week. When what institution earned the lowest approval ratings in its history?
The legislative branch?
The legislative branch known as?
Congress?
Yes, Congress. Never in the history of polling has Congress reached the single digits in their approval rating, not until now. The Rasmussen polling firm says that only 9% of the population approves of the job that Congress is doing. That's down 11 points from June. This is a problem, so we decided to see what we could do. We've called in an expert. Joining us to discuss how Congress can improve its popularity is Susan Schultz, editor-in-chief of Cosmo Girl magazine.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thanks for having me.
So I know this is something that concerns you and your readers, the question of popularity.
Absolutely.
How do you think Congress, as individuals or as an institution, can increase its popularity amongst its peers?
Well, of course, the first thing we always tell girls, and we get thousands of letters about this every year, you know, how can I be more popular? And we tell girls very simple things. Smile and make eye contact. You know, I mean, a lot of times people are very wrapped up in themselves, and they forget that if they're kind of being more open and friendly to others, that that helps you be more popular.
Really? Susan, is it really a problem if people don't like you? Do you ever find yourself counseling your readers not to worry about it?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, we often do say, you know what, if there's only a few people who don't like you, who really cares? Because not everybody is always going to like you.
Right.
But, you know, if a lot of people don't like you, you really have to take a look at yourself and wonder, what the heck am I doing wrong? You really have to, you know, do some self-reflection.
Okay.
Because there's a problem.
Let me ask you a tough question. Are there some people for whom it's just hopeless? They're just never going to be popular? They're never going to be well-liked?
Well, you know, there's people out there that we can all think of that I won't name any names that really never seem to get it right. But, you know, everybody loves the a comeback story. And one of the things we'll say is that, you know, you can never underestimate the power of knowing what happened on last night's Gossip Girl.
Uh-huh.
So if you really want to change your image and be a little more popular, Jonas Brothers lyrics are good, Gossip Girl, The Hills. If you know what's going on, people think you're cool.
Nancy Pelosi, are you listening?
Yeah. We're looking for Harry Reid to do some Lil Wayne raps, I think would be excellent.
Well, you know, Robert Byrd's never been the same since Gilmore Girls went off the air.
That's true. Well, hopefully they're listening, Susan. They'll take some of your advice. Susan Schultz is the editor-in-chief at Cosmo Girl magazine. Susan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, Sandeep, here is your last quote.
Will there be any cone bras in the stands? Sean Penn masks? The theme from Evita being sung by a heavenly choir of visiting Red Sox fans?
That was the sports blog Deadspin, which seems to be really enjoying the big celebrity divorce news this week. It seems like a married sports star has taken up with, of course, Madonna, who?
A-Rod.
A-Rod, indeed. Alex Rodriguez. If Cynthia Rodriguez, the wife of the highest-paid baseball player in the world, had simply sued for divorce, that would have been enough for us. Dayenu. And if the Boston Herald had just found a stripper willing to tell all on their front page about her trysts with A-Rod, we would have been plenty happy. But when the other woman in the divorce turns out to be none other than Madonna, well, then we realize there must be a God, and he regularly reads Us Weekly. Carl, how did Sandeep do in our quiz?
Very well, Peter. He had three correct answers, so he wins our prize.
Well done, Sandeep.
Thank you very much.